So, Vink.
Yes?
It's been a while since we talked.
And you are?
I'm Sean Orange, co-host Sean of Orange. Famicom Dojo.
Rings a bell.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Sounds like something I might be interested in.
Well, you know, I get that a lot.
Okay.
I've been to a couple of conventions since we last spoke. It's pretty cool.
Oh, is that why we haven't spoke?
Well, it could be because getting back late from these conventions has been eating into our usual podcasting time.
Well, tell me about these conventions that were so great that you thought you could blow off the podcast for them.
All right. Well, the more recent one was No Brand Con, and it's 11th year. Can you believe that?
11th. Wow.
I know. I ran to Duct Tape Boy and said hi for you.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yep.
That's good.
Yep. I asked him how he was doing. He said he wanted to die. So that was par for the course, really.
Duct Tape Boy, for those uninitiated, is a man whose costume consists of, well, a roll of duct tape unrolled upon him like a mummy. Except even an ancient 2,000, I don't know, how old are mummies? A couple thousand years.
Thousands,
old.
Yeah, thousands of years.
Whatever. Usually don't smell as bad as Duct Tape Boy.
Yeah. And they're probably less of a cancer risk as well.
Probably. Those fumes will get you, man.
So,
anyway,
yeah, this
how was the con?
It was good. I was mostly just there to have fun. I didn't have a panel this year for the first time in since 2008. Yeah.
Why?
I never signed up, and you know, part of the reason that we've been having trouble getting the podcast out on a regular basis is the same reason I didn't have time to put together any new material that, you know, I hadn't done at other conventions or at No Brand. No Brand's usually like the pilot for what I'm going to do for the most of the year, on the convention circuit, and I just did not have any time to put it together. I'd like to say we were working more on our video, but that wasn't entirely true either. But we're making progress on that as well. We just got a final draft of the script. Hopefully it's final. I hung out in the video game room a lot. Entered its Soul Calibur 5 tournament and got second place to a guy who's also in the Madison Soul Calibur group. He brought his own his phone fighting stick, so I know he was trouble.
That's a sign of a serious player right there.
Right. Before that, though, was Midwest Gaming Classic, which I hadn't been to since 2009. Yeah, that sounds right. And I was there as a vendor last time. So this was a different experience. It was in a different hotel, in a different city even. It was in Brookfield.
Really? Oh, it's not in Milwaukee anymore?
Well, it was never in Milwaukee proper. Like, it was in, it wasn't Oconomowoc, but it was some, outskirts of Milwaukee suburb town, whatever. And then it was in Brookfield this year, which is, you know, pretty close to Milwaukee.
I went to Midwest Gaming Classic in 2002, I think.
Sure.
Wow. That's a long time ago.
Right. So I ran into the fine gentleman from Mad Gear as well, who I last ran into at MagFest in D.C. So small world, right?
Okay. Yeah.
His stuff was still awesome and still way expensive. But
yeah.
Yeah. Had a lot of cool things there. My favorite, of course, was the retro gaming arcade / museum. They had a room just full of like old PCs, like, you know, Apple IIs and ColecoVisions. And
yeah, that room was always cool. That's the first time I ever got my, well, not hands on, but actually saw a Amiga CD32.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. I took a lot of video of this, actually, and never had the time to sift through it. So that's something that I should probably think about doing and get that for all the lovely viewers and listeners.
Yeah, that would be good. Run into any of our friends?
Well, I did almost insult Tommy Tallarico to his back.
We shouldn't do that.
I didn't mean to. I was going to say something a little pithy. And then someone's like, you know, you're standing like right over there, right? And I was like, oh, okay. I probably shouldn't.
this happens to you a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. But nah, he's a cool dude. I learned important Space Invader strategies. I went to Video Games Live, and there was a guy who had to like play it live, with his body. And it was a little bit of lag, but everyone's like, you know, you shoot at the ends, you go to the ends. It's the strategy. I'm like, oh, okay. So when I was at, you know, I was at Magfest, I was able to put that strategy to use and got all the way up to the third level before I died. Isn't that great?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I got a chance to practice that a little bit more recently with the Game Boy version that is enhanced for Super Game Boy, which is a whole topic in and of itself.
Oh, I remember that one.
Oh, man. It's so fun. Like, there's like an arcade mode that's like just like the arcade machine I played at Magfest. Pretty cool.
Have you played Space Invaders Infinity Gene?
No.
For the iPhone?
Oh, dear.
Or I'm probably Android as well. I don't know. I played on the iPad. It's phenomenal.
Wow.
It's really, really good.
All right.
It's... did you ever play any of those Extreme remakes, like Breakout Extreme or Arkanoid Extreme or any of those?
No.
It's okay, then. my saying it's kind of like those doesn't really help you.
Maybe some of the listeners out there know what he's talking about and can fill me in on the show notes. Yeah, but so yeah, I haven't been there in a long time. It was fun, interesting. I didn't remember how like large the Atari Lynx is. It's enormous.
Yep.
Even the redesigned version is still enormous.
Yeah, even the Lynx 2 extends the boundaries of what could be considered a pocket.
Oh my goodness. So yeah.
Like I suppose it would fit in a kangaroo's pocket.
Right.
Or Doraemon's pocket. But
Doraemon has a pocket? I had no idea.
It's a fourth dimensional pocket.
Of course it is. It's bigger on the inside, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is. I think one or the other of the TARDIS or Doraemon's pocket were based on one or the other.
Well, I guess speaking of learning important lessons about pockets and Space Invaders, this is like my first trip sort of by myself since my little boy was born and left him and the wife at a friend's place kind of on the way to Milwaukee, and then the boys hung out, and just I guess the importance and strength of marriage, and how I was like I felt guilty, honestly, getting away this like one month old and just spending a little time for myself with friends. It was weird. That's been happening a lot more lately since this kid's been sleeping through the night and whatnot. But maybe kind of flashback to the days I played like Fable 2, and all these women would come up to my character and be all like, "Doesn't my finger look sad without a ring on it?" And then my now wife, who was not even my fiance at the time, would tease me constantly and be like, she'd say the exact same line to me every once in a while because I hadn't proposed to her yet. But it occurs to me that there's not a lot of marriage in video games.
Ah, there isn't. There isn't. And there's not a lot of video game players who get married. That's mean. I am a testament to the fact that that's not entirely true.
Yeah, same here.
But, yeah. We talked before about how there's few babies in games.
Yes.
And, yes. You know, we kind of talked about how one of the reasons for it is in the course of a game, it's kind of a drag.
Yeah.
But what about marriage, though? I mean, the fact that that's not in games, does that imply that it's a bit of a drag as well?
I don't know. I think about it, and I'm pretty sure that there are more babies than marriages in games, which, you know, implies things about the babies I don't even want to contemplate right now. But...
Huh. Well, like there's a lot of like dating in games, but it usually only happens in like the last 10% of the game.
Yeah, there's romance, of course, which is like the thrust of a lot of games. So that's, you know, not out of the ordinary, but like, you know, lasting monogamous relationships.
When is Mario going to commit?
Right? I know. Princess Peach gets kidnapped by Bowser over and over again just so that she'll pay attention to her.
They've been a thing since 1985, you know. I mean she was kind of a rebound after Petunia, I know.
Yeah.
But they've made it work. I mean, all these years, and it's time, Mario. Mario, yeah. If you're listening to this podcast right now, you've been dating for 27 years. If you like it, you better put a ring on it.
That's right. That's right. And no long engagements either. We can't wait another generation for this to go down. I'm just saying.
I know. But, I mean, and where did those Koopa kids come from?
Right?
And doesn't one of them have blonde hair? I don't know. Mario?
All right.
You got to get on that. Okay.
Sounds like someone did already. Listen. So I brought up Fable 2, Fable 3 brings that trend. I guess the entire Fable series, really. But Fable 2 is the one I played first. You can get married to actually many people, male, female. Yeah. Gay, straight, whatever. You can get, and no one cares unless they meet. So it's really best to get married in multiple towns. This game really teaches you how to be a good bigamist, essentially.
Oh, that's good.
I guess. And it also teaches you that using condoms that you found buried in someone's yard is A-okay.
What? I haven't played Fable.
You have this dog.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, you have this dog, and every once in a while,
stop there.
He'll find something he can dig up. Okay. And it's a random drop for the most part, unless it's part of some quest. And occasionally, it's a little Johnny Sack.
What? And the fact that the dog has dug this up from the ground and brought it to you in its dog mouth, doesn't what? There must be a lot of babies in these video games.
Yeah, I mean this one in particular. You can have lots and lots and lots and lots of children, which has no particular consequence, it seems, other than at the end of the game, they're sort of used against you. But like you know, they're so like two dimensional. One dimensional.
Okay.
I'm not really sure. Like you know, the relationship that you form in these games mean about as much as you put into it because they're all like stock characters. You know, they don't have personalities or you know robust dialogue or anything like that beyond really basic stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a little confusing. Like you know where this kid comes from. Like the third game is supposed to be like the princess or prince. Of the second game's character, but it's like, you know, in my case, I had like 12 kids and 5 different wives, so it's like, which one was it? But I mean, can you think of another game that even tries to like try close to saying that marriage is a thing that you can do and I don't know, pays a little respect to it at least?
Phantasy Star 3.
Really?
Generations of Doom, because. You have to get married in the game.
What? That doesn't sound like fun at all.
The game takes place in 3 generations. Maybe there might be a way to beat it without getting married, okay. but like you have to have a predecessor to move on to the next generation. So
okay.
But like you play this character Kane. Oh gosh, what was he called in the American version? Reese or something? I don't know. But. You play him and you try to you're gonna get married in the game and depending on who you marry will depend on who you play in the second generation of the game.
Really?
Yeah.
This is Phantasy Star 3, you said?
Yes.
So it's like a Sega game, like a Genesis game, right?
Yeah, it's a Genesis game.
Okay, I picked up a whole bunch of RPGs when I was in Japan last. Maybe I should start playing it.
Yeah, you might actually have it. It came out in America in 91 and Japan in 90.
Okay, well, I guess I could buy the American version too.
If you don't have an English version, you can get it on Virtual Console too.
Okay. Oh, that's great. Yeah, fire up the Wii for something for a change.
Ouch.
Yeah.
But it's it's very interesting. And the third generation, again, it depends on who you wind up marrying.
Huh.
Now, I mean, being that it's a Genesis game, it's not infinite possibility. I think in each right. generation you have basically two choices of wife, you know.
Sure.
But like I remember that the ad for this game went like had a skeleton playing this game. Remember? And, okay. and it was like, before you beat this game, you will be married twice and die. You know, because the character you originally play eventually, yeah, dies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The descendants. Remember? But I remember reading that, and I'm like, that doesn't sound fun at all.
Right?
And wow. I'm like, the joke's on you, Sega. I die in every game I play repeatedly.
Oh, but you don't get married first, usually.
True. True.
Right.
But yeah, that's a game that used that system. And I mean, some Japanese games, really, you know, maybe not. I don't know. Well, let me point out a game where marriage was a significant and good experience in the game. The game I'd like to point to you is the game called Marriage.
What?
or as Dudley Moore would, or Peter Cook would call it, Marriage.
Oh God.
Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry, but that's one of the early dating sims. I know it was very popular on the Sega Saturn, but I think it was probably a PC Engine game before that. And your goal is to, it's a dating sim with the end game not being simply to end game with one of the girls, but to actually get married.
I see what you did there. Very clever.
Yes. But anyway.
Huh.
That was one of the games that saw it as a favorable situation. But it was the goal at the conclusion of the game. Like, it didn't really simulate what happened next.
Right.
I mean, I suppose they could have made a sequel called Settling In.
Fatherhood.
Fatherhood, yeah.
Oh, Parenthood, like the originally Steve Martin film, and now, yes. I guess, still ongoing NBC series. Or ABC? I don't know. Some BC.
I don't know why they haven't made a game about that.
Right. All right, well, speaking of Sims, how about The Sims?
Ah, The Sims. That's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a whole life simulator anyway. Actually, the first game's kind of like a wealth simulator, and then, like, because, you know, you get the best job in the world, and you have a kid who never grows beyond the age of 8 years old or something like that. You never
That's
get
creepy.
Old. And yeah. So like, you know, you become rich, powerful, and a parent, and that's all that's left to do in the game. But then Sims 2, you know, brings the element of multi-generational families, which, you know, of course means that your Sims can die apart from, you know, being burned alive in buildings, which people also do. or other, you know, starving to death, that kind of thing. But I don't know, even though those relationships are about as multidimensional as like Fables, they seem to be more interesting. Partly because like if you're like romancing a sim that's like one of the stock characters or whatever, that when you get married, they're part of your household and you can control them like any other sim. And that makes things a little more interesting, I guess. But apparently a lot of my Sims have a hard time staying completely faithful. And the family trees are a little screwed up right now.
I see. Now, The Sims, yeah, marriage actually affects the gameplay dynamic. But in a lot of games where you have the option to get married or not married, it doesn't really have much, you know, connection to the game. Often in games, the wife is seen as little more than, like, another piece of decoration for your den.
Case in point?
Well, not Fable so much, but, I mean, how much does the plot change depending on marriage or non-marriage?
Oh, not hardly at all, really.
Exactly.
It's not really required.
the wife is kind of a mini game to add on, you know?
I mean, yeah, I guess that's true. Cause yeah, and you gotta keep her happy too, which, apparently one good way to do that is to increase her stipend, I guess, or her household income.
I'll bring back Wall Street Kid now.
Oh dear. Well,
another game where you could get married, but once you're married, it doesn't affect the relationship you have with this girl really in any way.
Oh, okay.
Other than that you spent a great deal of money and that it's one of the game's goals.
Isn't it better though in a way that you can get married in these games rather than like kind of being harassed about not being married the entire time?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Do you think
marriage in the game is avoided for some of the reasons that kids in games are avoided? Like that it adds a little bit more to the emotional impact, more than people are sometimes comfortable with. Girlfriend gets kidnapped. It's a bad thing. We want to get girlfriend back.
Right.
But wife gets kidnapped. Yeah. There's a lot more baggage there.
You can always find a new girlfriend, right? It's like, I don't like her that much anyway, I guess. But if it's your wife, I don't know. Well, that's kind of the plot of Alan Wake, right? It's like, you know, typical girl gets kidnapped story. Hero comes to rescue her. But, you're right. It is the emotional impact because a lot of that game has to do with his relationship with her. And how it was kind of starting to come apart. And it's kind of used as like a psychological bludgeon against him. It's like, you know, this none of what is happening to you is real. You know, like implying that you like killed her or abandoned her, or that she, you know, something was going wrong and you've invented this scenario where you have to save her, but she doesn't need saving. It's you that's damaged and you're the one that needs help, that kind of thing.
Whoa.
I know, right? So
was that Cookie Monster?
I have no idea.
But yeah.
So that was, you know, that wouldn't have been the same if like it wasn't his wife he was trying to save, I guess. Or would it have been? I don't know. It's possible to have a longtime living girlfriend like Princess Peach.
Yeah. Does she? I don't think she even lives there. She lives in another castle.
Oh, right.
Oh man! And since when do mushroom retainers get their own castle?
Yeah, that doesn't seem hardly fair at all. Or maybe he was after her too, and he went through all the castle and the dangers first, and like just got there, and it's like all right. And then so you're wondering, like, what the F, little dude? I had to beat Bowser on the way here, and it's like, did you just, like, sneak by?
I suppose. You're right. The mushroom retainer is probably not even an official position. I mean, what would the duties of a mushroom retainer be? I still got my mushroom. I mean, you're done. So, I mean, I think he's a squatter. Like, he's like, no princess here. I'll live here.
If I just wait out these monsters.
The tax guy comes to the door, and they're like, hey, what are you doing here? You're not listed as this homeowner. And he's like, well, I'm the mushroom retainer. You know, just the first thing he sees, you know, because there's some on the table or something.
Right,
you
know, right. He's like, retaining the castle for the royal use.
So what are you doing?
Retaining
mushrooms? Is that an official position? Well, yeah, of course. Just ask the princess if you don't believe me. And the IRS agents try, but in like Castle 7, they get like burned by that fire stick, and like problem solved.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Mario, more persistent than the IRS.
I'm figuring this out, but like Mario's got to feel pretty dumb at that. By the time he's in Castle 8, he's got to be like. I swear, if there's another mushroom retainer there, I'm done. You know?
Or maybe he'll, you know, they'll just go off together. Actually, isn't there a comic about that? Like, you know, actually, I was looking for you, and like little mushroom guys eyes get super big, and I don't know. I should try and find that.
I suppose. I mean, I can't be the only one who considers Toadette kind of hot, right? I mean,
moving on.
So marriage in video games doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
When it does happen, it's can sometimes be kind of window dressing.
Yeah, I can't, you know, aside from Alan Wake, I can't think of like a significant marriage. And I'm sure I'm missing something incredibly obvious.
What about the Harvest Moon series?
I haven't really played it.
Wait. None of them?
Not a single one.
There are so many Harvest Moon games that by saying that you haven't played Harvest Moon, you're admitting to have not played 20% of games ever made.
Oh, man. It's probably true.
No. But I played the Harvest Moon on the 64 and part of the one on one of the ones on the GameCube. I think there were two. Maybe three. There's a new Harvest Moon every year or so. And there's like 1,000 of them on the DS. But one of the main goals of any Harvest Moon game, besides growing and selling crops, is that you eventually... It depends on which game. I think the one I played, there was a choice of 6 different girls in the game that you could find out which one would be your lawfully wedded wife.
Oh, dear.
And... I don't know. In the early, I haven't played any of the recent ones, and there's my confession. But in the early one, who you married didn't have a huge impact. It was again more of a like, decorating your house. But in the later ones, I guess it changes certain stats and certain things, and they have abilities. But again, yeah. But again, where does. Where does love come into this?
Right.
But then again, let's not single out video games here.
Sure.
Like, how many movies are about married couples? Family comedies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like that. But in the most one, it's like, you know, my name is Bond, James Bond, and this is the Mrs. You know, it just doesn't work, you know.
Right. Well, there's True Lies.
Ah, that's a great movie.
Yeah. Or Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah, but their marriage was a bit dysfunctional.
True.
And it didn't that movie like break up a real marriage or like a
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
It yeah. Moving on.
Shame on you, movie.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I wonder if also marriages are avoided in games for the same reason that babies are, in that they're incredibly maybe too reminiscent of actual life, but that would imply that games are made for adults and they're actually made for kids. So what kid wants to, you know, have a nice family life?
Girls have cooties.
Exactly.
But romance maybe this is another topic at all, whether there is any romance actually in games, but I mean, almost any game where you play a male character of the correct age has some form of love interest within the game.
Right. There's too young to be married for the most part, right? Like they're teenagers or they're young kids or, you know, youngish adults who need to make their career first in the world before they settle down. I mean, really, come on. What do you want from me, woman?
Link, if you're listening right now, that Zelda is a catch.
Mm-hmm.
And you should really, really think about, you know, retiring from tormenting chickens for a little while and, you know, settle down.
Well, excuse me, princess.
I'm so hungry I could eat an Octorok.
Oh, enough of that.
Sorry. but I mean, that's how it goes in these games, you know. And that's, you know, the death of a situation comedy is when the main characters get married.
How, you know, I was just thinking about that. I've been watching a lot of How I Met Your Mother, and like, yeah, like when this guy meets the woman he's going to marry, the show is going to be over. But yeah. You know, there are series like that have a character. They have like the token married couple, right, to kind of offset the fact that the other main characters are just these hedonistic, self-absorbed so-and-sos.
Yep.
But then, of course, the married couple has to kind of go off the deep end by being totally committed to each other in, like, completely cartoonish ways, but
yep.
still wonderful and adorable, I think.
The scarier part of How I Met Your Mother is that when he finally meets her, he's going to turn into Bob Saget.
Right. I know, right? Like, I'd be worried about that, too.
I wake up some nights screaming, hoping that looking around, making sure I haven't turned into Bob Saget.
Hasn't happened to me yet.
But you know what? You know, Fred Savage never really turned into that guy from the Wonder Years, did he?
No, he never did try and, like, rob
he's
a small child's
12,
house.
He's still kind of 12, isn't he? I mean, why doesn't anybody narrate my life? Okay,
maybe,
anyway.
See, no, that's the thing is that they are, but you can't hear them. Like, you know, Ted can't hear Bob Saget narrating his own life. Right?
True.
Yeah.
True.
Just wait until you turn into Bob Saget. And then, no, but yeah, like, I'm trying to think, like, the only other marriages I can think of are, like, other characters, like, side characters in these games that happen
exactly.
to be married, but, you know, has, like, no direct bearing on the game itself.
So, do you think we're ready for something, for a game that does put marriage into a more realistic light, or is that just become a time management game? You know what I mean?
Oh, what are you trying to say about marriage, Vink?
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is, since no game allows you to control two characters, whether you play the male or female in a game that isn't a committed relationship, for the relationship to have any bearing on anything, it's going to require at least some effort at least acknowledging the other person. Because if you have the wife being only in cutscenes, it's not
right.
There's nothing meaningful there. So it would have to be a character that interacts with your character in some way. And if it really is meaningful, if you totally ignore that character and just go off on quests, then there's no real point in having that character there. But if it is someone who you have to interact with in some way, you start to go into more of a simulation type game.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, you know, oh my gosh,
uh-huh.
it gets in the way of the adventure. Oh no, my wife listens to this sometimes. You know what? I have so many better adventures now that I'm married. And the adventure, honey, is only just beginning.
Nice save.
And that's the end of our podcast. So you can turn it off right now, huh?
Well, no. Here.
It's the end of our podcast. Okay.
Forever. No, you put upon something kind of interesting, I think. Like, maybe the solution to this is multiplayer. I mean, they did try The Sims Online. That turned into, like, a brothel, almost, you know, literally.
Yeah.
But
Second Life.
Yeah. Oh, Second Life. Yeah. But, you know, people sometimes blend their real lives with the video game lives, right?
There have been people who got married in World of Warcraft.
I mean, did they get, like, proper married? Like, they had their actual ceremony there? Or did they just, like, put it on? Like, you know, they decided to raid one night, and it's like, hey, wouldn't it be fun if we had a wedding and, like, you know, gathered all of our guilds together and whatever? And
I think both have happened. Like, I know a lot of people go, okay, our characters are married now. And other than, like, the being able to remind other people in chat, it, like, there's no actual system for that, you know?
Right.
We're married now. Oh, I gotta log off. Let's divorce, you know? I mean, some are, if you're one of people in a committed World of Warcraft marriage, I'm sorry if I've offended you.
Well, like, you know, if you're an actual couple playing together, like, let's say your boyfriend and girlfriend, and you get married in the game, and it's like, ah, this is fun. Like, couldn't the game be used as kind of like a bludgeon against you for not having married your significant other in real life? It's like, you know, you committed to me in this game. Why not in real life? What's going on? I play all the time together. You know?
Hear that, ladies? It's a gateway drug to marriage.
Well, I mean, you know, one potential answer is that they live 3,000 miles apart in real life, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that could happen. All right. let's take a turn for the creepy. What about people who marry video games?
What? Like Pee Wee Herman and like that salad or whatever?
What?
If you love potato salad so much, why don't you marry it? Or I think it was potato salad.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
Maybe no, I will.
No, in Japan in 2009, a man under the handle SAL 9000,
short for potato salad,
married Nene Anegasaki. What? And you probably haven't heard of her.
No.
Because she's not real.
She
is a character from the Nintendo DS dating simulation game Love Plus.
So that whole thing in that episode of Archer might be a send-up of that.
Maybe. Yeah. I haven't really watched Archer. Despite liking John Benjamin very much.
Yes.
Strangely enough, it's not on Japanese television. Okay.
Weird.
But so this man got I guess semi-legally binding marriage. I mean, he definitely would be and able to register in city hall and
right.
for tax reasons, nothing. But like, you could like a lot of Japanese religions are pretty open to stuff,
I guess.
And if you can find the right guy, someone will probably marry you to a video game character. So he and his DS walked down the aisle.
What?
And a short ceremony was performed where he said that he would be faithful to his fairly high leveled up girl in his dating simulation game Love Plus. All the more power to him. If he can find love this way, if you look at this guy, he's not going to have too many other opportunities. So,
Okay. So what you're saying is that this guy has to play the same game on the same system every night for the rest of his life and can never buy a sequel?
I don't think this.
What if he wants to play other games?
Then he just turns his wife off. For a while.
You know, this does feed into something that we're working on right now.
Yeah, turns his wife off for a while, puts her somewhere where she won't get hurt, and goes and wow, what a jerk.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. You think you can turn me on anytime you want?
Uh-huh. It's true, though.
Okay, let's stop. But but yeah, so, I mean, probably, most likely, they're playing it up as reality, you know what I mean? But this is publicity. This is mostly for fun. I hope.
I so hope. It's Japan, like, though. I mean, you know, and this is a world where like real dolls exist, so you can never be too sure.
Yeah, but let's give humanity the benefit of the doubt right now. No offense to any of our listeners who are currently engaged or married to virtual characters.
Yeah, and no offense to the non-humans listening to this podcast, especially the virtual characters. Non-humans
listening to it, your fleshy, meaty husbands are okay by us, as are you. Okay. I think we've covered all our bases here.
Oh goodness! Well, is this typically a male problem? Because you know, gaming being a male hobby. Introverted males stereotypically who can't find girls, like, you know, is putting marriage in video games just too mean?
Oh, that statement was pretty mean.
That was pretty mean, but I mean that's kind of what you were getting at, was like this guy couldn't have found a woman in real life is what you were kind of getting at. And this is the best he could do was this.
After you marry a Nintendo DS game, I think your pool of future brides has shrunk considerably.
well, for one thing, you know, I'm sure it's a monogamous relationship. You know, he can never buy a 3DS after this.
Yeah. Wow. That's Well, I don't know. It buying a 3DS, it's the game cartridge that she's on though. So like buying a 3DS could be like a
cocktail dress.
Yeah, the cocktail dress. What do you want to wear today? Do you want to wear your cobalt blue? Oh man, interesting. But I mean, I don't know. Like, I'd say that might be somewhat true. That like the games avoid situations like that because their users, you know, aren't having those type of experiences themselves. But I don't think that's true because of the huge dating sim market. You know, right. Pursuing a romantic relationship in a game is definitely like a popular, at least in Japan, is a popular concept and one that makes a lot of money and that a lot of people are interested in. But I don't know. Yeah, I suppose marriage as a word, you know, it's kind of a heavy word. It's kind of weighty, you know.
Right, right.
Once you get married, you can't be with those other characters in the video game.
And right, unless you erase the save file, annul the marriage by literally nulling the data.
But like, I think one of the things is video games in general. And fantasies and things start off with a totally clean slate, a world of infinite possibilities. Like the first time you put in Super Mario Brothers, you had no idea what was coming next, and it was so exciting. And you'd hear stories from other kids, like about levels you haven't played that they were clearly making up. You know, there's this one level where Bullet Bill runs a casino. you don't know. You're a kid, you know. But I remember hearing about levels 10 something whatever, and he's like, yeah, you can only get to them if you beat like World 8 in this certain way.
Right.
But anyway, like there's like infinite possibility for what might be in this game. But the more things you put in, the more rules, the less possibilities a game has.
Right, right, right.
So like especially like a lot of the open world games right now, once you commit to a relationship in the game, it limits what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Or, and I think that's one of the other reasons why very few games have you get a job.
Oh, yeah.
You know, do any of the things that normally lead to, you know, making a concrete final decision of some aspect of your
mm-hmm.
life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, I don't know, one of the things.
I keep thinking about, I don't want to like blur the boundaries of like romance versus marriage, but and I also can't. Well, I mean, you know, romance in video games, because that's a different topic we've explored before.
Yeah.
And like marriage being like the conclusion of that, and since I can't apparently go a single podcast without mentioning Mass Effect, you know, that's a very, you know, romance heavy game. You know, but, you know, again, that it's an optional portion of it, but. I have been introduced to this community of people who are just like really into the romance options, and especially like the FemShep Garrus thing. Like that's a huge, for some reason, people are really into that particular pairing. And like, you know, people's fan art, like revolves around like, what would the kids look like? You know, even though like one's like Levo, DNA and one's Dextro and they're not really genetically incompatible, but it's like, you know, never mind. Anyway, the point is that people are sort of like yearning for there being like a, you know, the next step. Like if you weren't playing this game and you could kind of like live these characters' lives out as a couple, you know, without like the whole imminent danger to galactic civilization aspect, and people are really into that idea. and it's like you know, they want their characters to get married. They like the story. They like the conclusion. They like the next step in their journey. But it's not what those games are about, ultimately, unless it is like a simulation of some kind, right?
Yeah.
Like how could you get exactly to that point without exploring it outside of the game space?
Yeah, I think that's very interesting. And I'm interested to hear what our listeners think about this topic.
Nice.
I am sure we've left out a lot of games that include marriage in some form.
Yes.
I mean, again, dating sims, probably. That's not what we're looking for here. But, you know, games that have used marriage in a meaningful way for the game experience. I'd be very interested to hear about that.
Yeah. I'm like, are there any like examples of games that are like really positive or even negative examples of marriage and that we missed? I'm sure people could, you know, think of those and let us know, right?
Joe and Mac 2. Yes, you could get married in that game, and you could decorate your cave. And again, the wife was more of the decoration. But Joe and Mac 2, or I think for our British listeners, I think the game came out as, or maybe in the arcade one, I don't know. The series is also known as Caveman Ninja. Have you played Joe and Mac?
I don't believe so, no.
That's a great game.
Let's see. Yep.
All right.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention a few things since it's been a little while since we've hung out, been around, all okay. That good stuff.
Give some updates.
So, our good friend Justin, aka Jew Wario, over at youcanplaythis.com, finally released a Stuck in Your Head video that we recorded footage for last year.
I recorded video for the. It's long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
You finally got that done. How'd it turn out?
It turned out pretty good. Half of Famicom Dojo was in it.
Wait, half?
Yeah.
Which half?
My half.
What?
Yeah.
Do you not like my singing? I'm classically trained.
No, there were like four or five people in it. So, like, I don't know. Must have just been like a, yeah. That's okay. We have the footage, and we can put up our own short little addendum to it, plus a conversation you had with your wife about what the turtles are, because, you know, she didn't grow up with it. Although, if she had, she would have probably watched the anime version where they become a Sentai team for some inexplicable reason.
Yeah. Doesn't sound like something my wife would be.
Yeah, I'm just guessing.
Yep.
But I mentioned MAGFest earlier. I actually, when Justin was on this podcast, over that weekend, I asked him about it after the show. It's like, hey, whatever happened to that footage? And he was like, oh, I'm still waiting for a couple of contributions to come in. And now I know. He could have just used your footage instead. It would have been great.
Ooh.
No, it's pretty fun. There's other Stuck in Your Head videos of other themes. Like, I got super excited when I heard that he wanted to do the Turtles theme, and I might have gone a little bit overboard in my contribution, and what made it in was a sliver of just what I gave him, let alone what Vink gave him. So, yeah. What made it in, though, was, I think, possibly the best part that I did. I don't know. But, those will be available in the show notes if you want to check those out, or just go to youcanplaythis.com.
And, Justin, if you're listening to this, very disappointed you didn't use any of my footage. But I can't stop loving you.
It's true.
No matter what I say or do.
We can't stay mad at you. I'm not even sure I can start being mad at you, honestly. The other thing I wanted to bring up is that if you guys aren't watching the awesome Keep Playing Rewind by Syndra, you should start. She just released this week part two of her Amiga Memories. I believe part one was a very, very popular video. Especially if you're like more into the Sega side of things, because, you know, we're clearly, you know, in Nintendo's camp, even when we try and be impartial. I mean, come on, admit it. Come on. Famicom Dojo? Come on.
Well, yeah, I mean that. but Sega Saturn and Dreamcast love. I mean, definitely.
Oh yeah, I still have a lot of nostalgia for things like the Genesis because I didn't grow up with it. You know,
the real retro, like the gaming as a kid. Yeah, that Nintendo all the way. Like,
yeah,
Sonic.
Yeah.
Sonic was evil.
He was around, you know. I played the stuff a little bit, and it's like that like edgy cousin that you know your mom doesn't want you to hang around with because he like smokes or something.
Yeah.
So yep.
More on that later.
Right. What? speaking of other podcasts, I was also on the Powercast on the Avengers show, which is like the first Powercast I'd been in since. I don't even know. Probably since last year, honestly. If you haven't seen The Avengers, I highly recommend that. Anybody get married in that movie? I don't think so. No one married. But that's okay. There is someone from How I Met Your Mother, though. I won't say more than that.
Ooh.
I know. Tease. Who is it?
It better be Bob Saget.
Someone you see on camera.
Bob Saget as the Hulk.
Well, they do replace
Joss,
him every
movie. Joss, if you're listening to our podcast, I thought of that.
Yes. Yes, I'm sure by the fourth movie where the Hulk appears and they've replaced Mark Ruffalo yet again with someone else.
Well, of course.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway, go see the movie. Haven't already. It broke all kinds of box office records. And we talk about it in non-spoiler and spoiler varieties on the Powercast, which is at Power TV. And I'm sure I'll link that in the show notes as well. So, yeah, I guess, that does it for this show. We are working diligently on our next video. I promise. I promise it's coming.
I don't know what diligent means, but I think it means something like occasionally.
Hey, life's busy. We do what we can.
Yeah. But it's great having a podcast this week.
Yeah. So, yeah. We'll have one next week, maybe.
We will.
Yes, we will. All right. You heard it here.
Okay.
Famicom Dojo.